We just thank you for all the good and all the blessings that you put in each of our lives. Father, we're so thankful for the church family that you've given us and the brothers and sisters in Christ that help us and support us and we can go through life with. Father, it's such a blessing to have all of us sharing our lives together. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for the leadership and the training and the education we're getting. And Father, we thank you for your word that's guiding us and strengthening us all the way through everything that's happening. So, Father, we lift up this time to you. I ask that you use me to share what you would like to share, and that, Father, everybody hear what they need to hear today to move forward in their walk with you. So, Father, we just lift up this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Ezra. So, who remembers where we left off? Because I haven't got a clue. We're in Ephesians, okay? And we're in Ephesians 6 now. And it's been a long time, so... But I asked you guys to do a little bit of research on the last time I was here about spiritual warfare. Is it real? Did anybody look anything up, any scripture verses, to do any proofs on that? Julie, you're nodding. That's good. Okay, well, listen, I've got a few of them here, so let's just go through of those together, okay? Let's look at, the question is spiritual warfare real? Okay, so let's look at 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Okay. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There we have, oh, wait a minute. I left off 7. He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Sounds like he's out to get us, right? Spiritual warfare. Corinthians. Let's go to Corinthians 2:11. Yes. Be sober, which? Well, I think Scripture tells us that the devil is surrounding us in the spiritual world. And, yeah, I think he's seeking to steal souls.
But is he still a single entity and not omnipresent,
but like
the Lord?
Right. So... Jesse, is the devil at this point in this scripture using his minions as part of his force, prowling like a lion? Yeah. Yeah. They're all going about. So he's kind of leading the group. And yeah. So thank you, Julie. So let's go to Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to 2:11. So, for if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. He's after us. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. It might take me a little while to get there. I got a little bit of shake here. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of sins. He's protecting us. He's accepted us into his kingdom. We are safe. And then let's go to Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, which is where we are studying. put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So, I think it kind of tells us, yes, there is spiritual warfare going on. Yes, Satan is prowling around with his minions in the spiritual realm, and he is looking for people to take to his kingdom, to get out of God's kingdom, or not ever be accepted into God's kingdom would be a better way, that he can take them to his kingdom. So we are in a stage of spiritual warfare, and it is real. So let's look at then, how do we fight spiritual warfare? Okay, does God give us any indications on how we fight this? Let's just look at 1 Peter 4. Yes. Yes. Okay. Right. And remember, as Jesse said, it's not just Satan who's roaming. It's all his followers. It's all his believers and his minions that are all going around. So there could be millions. There could be hundreds of millions. So can Satan be everywhere at once? No. But his minions, in theory, could be everywhere at once. We are never safe from the wiles of the devil. We our only safety is our belief and our trust in Jesus Christ, right? That is our safety, and that is our safe spot. In this world, we cannot be safe. We can't find a safe haven other than through Jesus Christ, okay? So, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6. So, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead. You know, I looked this up, but I don't think this is the right. Is this making sense? I'm sorry, you guys. I'm still a little foggy. I apologize. And then let's look at Ephesians 4. I know that's there. Might not have been ready, Jesse. There you go. Ephesians 4. 25 through 32, do not grieve the Spirit. How do we fight it? Do not grieve the Spirit. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, God in Christ forgave you. So how do we fight it? What is that scripture telling us? How do we fight the powers of evil? Put away the evil habits that we have and live in Christ, follow Christ, right? Anything else? Pray. Okay. Shedding the old man for the new, right? Yeah. Okay. Right, right. Because what happens when we don't forget, Julie? Or we don't forgive?
We get bitter in our heart and we're
just consumed and it gets worse and worse. Right. And where does our walk with Christ go when it happens?
Not good.
Not good, yeah. Okay. So we're opening ourselves up to all other kinds of fleshly influence. When one fleshly influence, like unforgiveness, can open us up to many more fleshly and worldly influences. So we need to be careful with that, okay? So what is its purpose? We need to learn to walk like Christ did. We need to put away the old and hang on to the new. So it's important for us to identify that spiritual warfare is not caused by God, okay? We need to be really clear on that concept. But God can use the spiritual warfare in our lives to perfect us. And isn't that what he's trying to do all the way through? Aren't we going through a sanctification process? Right. Okay. And let's look at Romans 5, 1 through 5 for that. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance and perseverance character and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given us all. Okay, so we're talking about spiritual armor here. So as we get into this, so are we fighting warfare in the streets right now? In the sense of warfare, probably not. Could we? Yeah, we don't know what the future will bring. Are we fighting spiritual warfare? Yes, but Paul is talking about the armor of God. Why do you think he was inspired to use the armor of a soldier? Yeah, was Paul under house arrest and surrounded by guards? Yeah, yeah, okay. He was surrounded by these Roman soldiers 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This had to be on his mind as he was contemplating and as he was talking. I mean, let's not forget, Paul was befriending these soldiers. He was trying to convert them. Even though he was being persecuted and held captive by them, he never lost his calling to still try to see them as God sees them, as his children, and provide the gospel message to them. But you have to remember that when you're surrounded by that, it kind of becomes a part of your thought process, right? So that I think that's where this came from. Of course, it's all inspired by God, but I think that was part of Paul's inspiration. So he was under house arrest. He was surrounded. Was it relative to him at the time? Absolutely. Is it relative to us today? Yeah, it's very relative to us today. Maybe more so today, which is why we need to know how to apply this to our own individual lives. So it's very important as we continue on in this lesson that as we go through the actual armor of God teaching, that we be able to self-evaluate our own commitment to defending God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm going to repeat that. It is very, very important that we be able to self-evaluate our commitment to defending God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's very easy for us to say, well, this is what should be done. It's very easy for us to say, this is what society should do. It's very easy to say, this is what the church should do or this group should do. I'm not interested necessarily in that as we're finishing this off. I want us to take this personally. I want us to self-evaluate, not what should everybody be doing, what should I be doing, and am I doing it or am I not? Okay, so I would like to ask you to guys go in through the rest of this study with that in mind, is how am I applying this in my life? Okay, so we're hoping to identify where we are personally in our own walk. Okay, where are we strong and prepared? Where are we needing to grow and strengthen? I'm just asking each of us to be willing to be honest and to be vulnerable, if it feels comfortable. So let's break down this as Paul presented it in Ephesians 6. So spiritual armor. So if you look at the soldier up there, can you guys read the print on any of that? I can't either. So we're out of luck. Let's look at the belt of truth. Can anybody read? Anybody at all read what it says about the belt of truth? Okay. Well, next time I'll get a better picture. So, a Roman soldier wore a belt about his waist, which held his sword and all the other parts of its protective armor together, okay? It held his breastplate. It held the heavy leather skirt that protected his loins. It had a sheath for the knife and for the sword. The belt of truth is what kept his whole armor of protection together. So as God's soldier, we wear that belt of truth symbolically, okay, and spiritually. So what happens? Now, we're living in a time where the flesh and the world and the powers of Satan are kind of running amok here. What happens? Has anybody ever heard that the worldview of we all have our own truth? Has anybody ever heard that? Yeah. I've heard that actually personally a lot, and I've heard it a lot in the media. Well, we can't put our truth on anybody else because everybody has their own truth that they have to live by. So let's take that philosophy. What happens? What's going to happen if everybody has their own truth?
It gets garbled.
Gets garbled? Yeah. Anything else?
Standards change.
Okay. Yeah. What happens if my truth directly counteracts Dave's truth? What's going to happen?
Strife.
There's going to be strife. There's going to possibly be discontent between us. All kinds of negativity happens. All the fleshly things come up. There cannot be more than one truth. If there's more than one truth, there is nothing that is true. Nothing. Because Dave's truth says mine is wrong. Okay, my truth can't be wrong. My truth says Dave's is wrong. There can't be a truth. So nothing is true unless we have one truth. And the ultimate truth can only be found in God's word and Jesus Christ. And that is in John 14:16. Anybody want to look that up for me? John 14:6. Anybody have it?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any doubt in that? Is there any gray area in that? No. That is the truth. That is the truth all of us know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. Okay? That is the ultimate truth. That is the only truth that we need to live by. Right? A knowing. Because that will influence everything we do, everything we think, everything we say. If we can hold on to that ultimate truth. So that truth is what holds our armor together to protect us from our flesh, the world, and the father of lies. So let's look at the application, okay? So as a belt holds soldier's armor together, so does our knowledge of and trust in God help us to hold all our defenses together, right? It's all about our trust in Jesus Christ, our knowledge of God through the scriptures. That's what holds our armor together. Where does the trust come from? Well, generally trust comes from knowledge, right? Where does knowledge come from? From study. Where does study come from? It's from being in God's word. We learn the ultimate truths of God and the foundations of our disciplines of our faith through studying God's word. We have got to be in God's word to understand God's ultimate truth. Okay? So, start your day in God's word. How many of us are able to do that most days? I'm able to do it most days. I'm sure some of us can do it all days. And is anybody here willing to say they're struggling with getting that done every morning? Is anybody fighting that struggle? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. What's holding you back, Joe? Do you mind sharing?
Mostly just busy, and I'm really working on that.
Okay. Okay, so you already have a solution. Yeah, that's good. Because, see, that's what we need to do. And that's why, thank you for being vulnerable, Joe. I appreciate that. That's what we need to do is recognize what is it that's keeping us from being in the Word, okay? There's, generally, it's the busyness of the world, of our family, of those we love, of the things that have to get done, of our job, okay? So we have to find a way around that. That's what we need to do. Does that mean getting up earlier? Probably. Even for work, does that mean getting up earlier? Right. Wouldn't it be nice to have the whole picture, Ray? But that's where our faith comes in, right? Now, we need to remember that is not necessarily applying to us today, is it, Jesse? The part of God will bless those who bless Israel? That wasn't written for us, no. But that doesn't mean it's untrue. And I think because it wasn't written to us, what we need to look at is God wants us to respect the people that he has chosen as chosen people and the country of Israel as a whole because they are or were his chosen people. And I guess, are they still?
Mm-hmm. So, God is willing to go back to the nation of Israel, but he's concerned now about everyone trusting Christ as a Savior. That's the point of
right.
The book of Romans. And so, going back to that blessing, those that bless thee, that does go away.
Mm-hmm.
So, now it's not so much as a nation, but as it is individual people.
Right. And I think, thank you, Ray, that's a good point, though, because a lot of people, that that gets confusing. I was confused on that for a lot of years. In fact, I had to ask Jesse. I'm still a little bit confused on it. So, it's the people
that are, following that word.
Right.
A lot of the people that live in Israel aren't that kind of
Jews. Right. They're secular Jews, right? Or non-Jews, or Arabs, or and different other denominations, Christians. So, yeah. Okay. So let's go back. So something else we can do is when we're studying God's word, it's real easy just to read through, right? And we're not absorbing. So other ways to do that are add commentaries, add references, add podcasts. Use the knowledge the studies that have been out there to help you to more fully grasp what you're reading as you're reading at it. The caution I would have is, don't just read a commentary or a podcast. Don't go to a reference until you see who it was written by and you make sure that their theology and their doctrine are correct. Okay? Yes? Adds to it, which is a really, really good point, Jan. And how many people do pray for the Holy Spirit to guide them before they open the scriptures? That's excellent. Good. So another thing that was going to lead me to, and now I've forgotten. well, we'll move on. Yes. Okay. Right. Very good point, Julie. Very good. And that goes right back to your point about Satan prowling around for the lion, like a lion. Is he prowling in your living room while you're trying to read scripture when he directs you to go to the email and then directs you to go to Facebook and then directs you to all these? Is that Satan prowling around distracting you? I think it is. So he is here. And he's waiting to devour, okay? But keep your focus. Right. Yes. Yes. You're right. But who's putting that in front of you? Yeah. That's true. That is true. Yeah, that's a very good point too, Julie, is Satan can't have control if we don't allow it, right? God is stronger and bigger than Satan is. And if we're going to keep our focus on, and we're not going to allow Satan to have that foothold because we've got our feet firmly situated in Christ, he's not going to get that upper hand, is he? Okay? So, memorizing scripture. Okay? They'll help you in your personal battles. Julie, you shared once before, you have a personal scripture that helps you in your battles. Yeah.
Romans 8:28.
Because God has control. He has a plan. Yeah, good point. Okay, anybody else? Okay. So something that's really important for us all to realize is And this is part of our patience with each other and our perseverance with each other as friends. Is we're all fighting a very individual battle, okay? None of us are fighting exactly the same battle of the flesh and of the world than anybody else is. Our battle is very individual. So the scriptures that are going to hit us are going to be very individual. So what my scripture is for where I feel weak in the flesh may not at all make sense to any of you guys. It's like, well, why did John pick that scripture? Well, because that's the one that I'm fighting. And you might have one that nobody else understands either. But remember, we have to be patient with each other because every one of our battles is very individual. Okay, so we need to be patient with each other and understanding and helping each other grow through that, right? Okay, one of the nice things about God and His Word is that He can reach us wherever we are, right? And that's what that shows us. It doesn't matter what our battle is, we can open His Word and we can find comfort. How many of you, because I know Jan and I have done this, how many of you have just been burdened by something and you just opened the Bible to start and it opens right up to what you needed to read that day? I want a show of hands. How many people have had that happen? A lot of us have, right? Yeah. Don't say God's Word isn't alive. Yeah. It's there for us. So, is there anybody? I'm gonna share something, a struggle that I am burdened with more than I should be, and that's security. Okay, so I'm gonna give you an example of what I'm talking about. When I feel burdened by a loss of security, whether it be by financials, whether it be by relationships, or of health, I have my go-to scripture in the Bible, and mine is not memorized because it's 9 verses long. But I'm going to share with you, because I feel that way, why that affects me, and that's Matthew 6, okay, 25 through 34. And for those of you who feel this same burden, maybe it's something for you to look at. Do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And that's where it hurts. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We've all heard that, right? That's a pretty well-used scripture, right? Well, to me, that encompasses everything that causes me to feel burdened. And that's my go-to, because then I can remember to get my focus back on God, okay? So we all need at least one of these scriptures that when we are really feeling burdened, we can go to and remember, oh yeah, God's got this, right? Okay? Does anybody else have anything they would like to share? Okay. So, yes. Absolutely. How many of us have damaged relationships over something we thought was true, but we didn't really know? I have. Yeah, that's in my past. We've all done that. So that's a very good point, Julie. The truth, the God's ultimate truth, tells us what we need to do, right? And we need to take that truth and make sure of the truths that we are sharing or the truths that we are believing are based on God's truth and not just of the flesh, right? Very good point, Julie. Thank you. So let's look at the application. So let's look at some of the ways that we live a life that reflects the righteousness of Jesus. We're going to have to move along. I'm too long-winded today. Okay, so I don't want the trite, I know this is the right answer, okay? I want individual answers. So, let's identify the ways we live a life that reflects the righteousness of Jesus living within us. Anybody? Very personal ways, okay? Not personal in the sense of exposing personal in the sense of this is what I do, not this is what the world does. Genuine caring, okay? Caring. Okay. Anybody else? How do we reflect that we have Christ living within us? Having joy. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Okay, we get that confused a lot. Oh, very good, Dave. I haven't heard that one. Very good. Happiness is a choice. And joy is a condition. Good. Okay. And
happiness fades.
Happiness is generally based on fleshly or worldly values, right? Joy is based on the peace and the contentment we have with God and with Jesus living within us, right? Okay? Anything else? What shows that we have, personally, we have Christ living within us and we are walking the path? Okay. I'm trying to put this in something I can get on here. So you're focusing on your relationship with God above your relationship with people, right? Is that what you're saying, Addie, or am I putting words in your mouth? Okay. Can I put keeping your focus this way instead of this way? I can't write, you guys. I'm sorry. Too many drugs. Oh, you're not supposed to say that in church. Okay, very good, Addie. Very good. What else? Your language? Okay.
I'm going to try to put this in
humble. Humility. What do we do with our free time? Are we always watching or reading or doing things that are honoring of God? Okay. Should be. Using free time wisely. What? Honesty. Okay, so this gives us a partial list here, all right? What I want you guys to think about is your life. How are you reflecting your walk is with Christ instead of the world? Okay, so let's give that thought this week and see where are our strengths in all this? Where are some of the ways we can grow in all of this, okay? So I'm not walking with Christ. What does that look like? Anger. Boy, that's always one of the first.
Selfish.
Feeling lost. Oh, yeah. Else, individually. No. Entitlement. Boy, is that an American thing? Okay. So, anger, selfishness, feeling lost, judgmental, holding on to your hurts, accusatory, entitlement. How can we never hear from each other that we have these feelings and yet we're talking about them today? Okay? Remember, when we feel burdened because we are struggling walking in Christ's path and we're feeling like we're being pulled in the path of the world or the flesh, remember, that's temptation. Temptation is not a sin. Reacting on the temptation is the sin. We need to share those things in truth and honesty with our brothers and sisters. Is this a safe zone? Is there anybody in this room that I would feel uncomfortable bearing my secrets to? No, I can honestly say no. I would trust any one of you that if I bared my secrets to you, you would support me and you would pray for me and you would give me godly guidance. I would hope that all of us feel that way, okay? So as we go through this week, because we're running out of time here, we've run out of time. So we go through this week, let's look at our individual paths, okay? Make a list if you have time when you're doing part of your Bible study. Make a list. How does my life reflect walking with Christ? Where am I, and where am I still walking in the flesh and in the world? Okay? Try to do that as an exercise while you're doing your Bible study, and then try to follow it up. Find the scripture. What does the scriptures tell you? Okay? Go back to Galatians 5. And 20 through 26, who knows what that is? Fruits of the Spirit, right? Okay? Anybody have it yet? Because I haven't. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Okay? So let's read through that and see. Where does our life reflect that? In everything that we do, whether it be our work, whether it be our things that we work on at home, whether it be our interactions with people, with community, where does our walk fall within the fruits of the Spirit, and where does it fall within the old habits of the flesh and the world? Okay? So let's look at that and see if we can't use that as a growing tool this week. That's all I got for this week.
Any? Mm-hmm. Defending against the armor of Satan. But when we put on the armor, what are we rewarding?
Right.
That's what spiritually and morally.
Right. So we need to prepare for the fight that's coming at us.
Right.
We need to prepare for the fight going to the enemy as the spreading of the gospel. Right? So we need to look at it in two different ways. One is protecting ourselves from the violent attack. One is reaching out with God's love to try to save somebody else. Okay? So important distinction there. Okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that you've given us together to study the Word. Father, as we go forward, I just ask that you bless Jesse and the words that he has, you've given him to share with us. Father, throughout the week, I just ask for blessings on our church family as we go through. And Father, just protect us from the ways of the world. Protect us from the ways of the flesh. Protect us from the ways of Satan. Father, we just we trust in you. We trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We lift our lives up to you, and we thank you in all ways through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.